dining room, and this is kind of a
this
packaging
room. This is the herb room, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a cooking room out there for mm-hmm. jellies.
And that is the laughingly referred to as the display room and office. It usually comes closer to being a junk room. Uh-huh. I mean, when we come back from a show, that's where everything goes.
Yeah.
Because this is working in here
right.
and in there. Mm-hmm. And then the back room mm-hmm. is storage. Mm-hmm. And I've got, and then there's one freezer out on the front enclosed porch. We're going to bring the other freezer over. We'll have two freezers over here. Mm-hmm. And we've got that side porch out there, which is very nice to sit out on.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever collect any local recipes or formulas, whatever you want to call them, for herbs?
Mm-hmm.
Have
no.
you had some of
those? What was interesting, we've got the whole series of the Foxfire books. Mm-hmm. What was interesting was that the recipes that they used here, now, I'm talking about somebody in their 80s that used medicine when they were children.
Yeah.
They can remember what their mother made up for them, and they used to make it up for their kids. Were about the same as the ones that my grandmother used. Foxfire, in the one book that deals with that, is down in the mountains. It's in northeastern Georgia.
Right.
Almost identical recipes there. Well, the flora is about the same. Mm-hmm. And apparently the Indians traveled a good bit in through that one area, in through the mountains, and it just sort of spilled over. And in North Carolina, down there in the mountains, they still have Indian medicine men.
Mm-hmm. And
Cherokees, yeah. Mm-hmm. Down there, I can remember when I was a kid, we never thought much about Indians because you'd go to town on Saturday and there was a courthouse square. And everybody, and the Indians were standing around in their plaid shirts and their blue jeans like everybody else yeah. was. And they'd come in town, they'd go to the bank and they'd go to the store and you'd do their business. But you never really saw where they lived. They would build a house up on the hillside in the woods. And unless you knew it was there, you'd never find it. Some of them lived on the reservation, but a lot of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The ones down there didn't they didn't do the turquoise jewelry, that's out west.
Yeah.
The pottery was just browns and blacks. They would just fire it in an open fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the clay was just, they didn't do any painting or anything. They had good looking pots, the shape and everything. What they excelled in was their woodwork, absolutely gorgeous, and baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother bought some baskets I get 4 and 5 when we go down and through there. And I've got a couple of those. And they're just ordinary looking baskets, but they're so practical. And I use them to store stuff in or, you know, for different things. I'll use them in display materials.
Can I do a house demo?
Yes, goodbye. There's, here's one here. I've got some stuff sitting in it. Also use broom corn in the decorative touches.
Mm-hmm.
She'll weave the broom corn in there, and people can't guess what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And we raise it. I did it just for the heck of it. And the deer don't bother it. The raccoons don't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing bothered it. So, you know, I thought this is great, and then we use it just in dried arrangements here in Rees.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually sell most of it because I don't have time to do it. And I don't know where that originated. A lot of the broom makers were up in New England.
Yeah, there's been a broom factory in Charleston for 100
yeah.
years or so. Yeah.
I mean, it grows quite well
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And I had just a 4x8 raised bed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can plant it real close and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just did famously. So we're going to plant some more this year because mm-hmm. we're down about the last.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about your apprentice, Nikki?
Nicole. Molnar. She lives with her parents. They have a greenhouse. It's not one of these state-of-the-art things. It's
mm-hmm.
a greenhouse. And she Well, she wants to learn more about starting plants in the greenhouse. Well, I can't help her there.
Yeah.
But she is interested. Well, first of all, she was over here on a herb tour with Marion Harless at Augusta.
Uh-huh.
And they came over here, or maybe it was after Augusta, but they came over here one day. And I gave them the trip, and mm-hmm. we walked around, we saw some of the medicinal herbs and discussed what they were used for. And several of the women were older. She's, I think, 22, 23. And I thought, well, it's nice that younger people are doing this now. And a couple of weeks later, she called me, wanted to know if it was all right if she came over. She had a free afternoon. And I was harvesting or doing something, so she came on over. And then she started asking me, and this was last year, was there anything she could help do? She really wanted to learn how to do this. And she's trying to find, more or less, getting something into something heritage type.
Mm-hmm.
To make a living. She doesn't want to sling hamburgers or something, so she won't have to move out of the state. And her parents have been very supportive. Her mother, I've met her mother several times, and she's going to college evenings,
mm-hmm.
and raising her little boy is 2.5 now. So she's got her hands full, but she mm-hmm. wants to learn one of the heritage trades, and she's more interested in the medicinals than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, great, she's not interested. Well, she'd have to do enough of it commercially to earn a living, but she's got to get that all right before she does anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing you've got to know, the identification, and usually this is one thing that most people... There is more request to teach plant identification or herb tours or whatever you want to call it than any other single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go down, if you've got a state park that has a naturalist, they can identify the stuff that's like on their nature trail. If they may not know if it's a medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
There are books out there, but none of them has everything in it. That's why we've got such an extensive library.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the single worst thing that happened when the building burned down. We lost the library. And I don't care. It could have been insured for 10 times what we paid for.
What building was that?
The craft shop was directly across mm-hmm. the road here, the driveway. And the stuff was insured. It wasn't insured for its replacement value. That would, it would have been scheduled to do that. If you've got $10,000 worth of furs, you have it scheduled because they'll only pay up to, say, $500. But it wasn't the money as much as it is. I sent a list and I said, these are the ones that I've absolutely got to get replaced. And the girl wrote back, she said, well, we'll be glad to do a free search for you, but you realize, of course, that every one of these is out of print. And some of them were written like 5 years ago, and they're out of print.
Mm.
So I sat down and sent out a whole slew of these letters, and I haven't heard from anybody yet, but I hope they're out there looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured, if they do find them, I'll pay a lot for them, but some of them are worth every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a book, I think about in 83 or 84, and I've revised it since then. And it covers essentially, usually when I give a class on the herbal lore, the 3-day thing, that's part of the lab fee, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gives them a starting point, that gives them the basics in the culture, the basics in the medicinals, how you make these. How you make up the teas or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of the books, like all the other books, if you're going to do it with, not really deep, but if you're interested in it, it's one thing to pay $5 or $6 for a book. It's something else to pay $75, $100. I've got one book that's worth $220. Well, it's cost $225 and it's worth every penny of it.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot like that, but I've got an awful lot of them that are in the $30 to $50 range. the average person isn't going to spend that kind of money on a book. They're looking for one perfect book that has everything in it, and, you know, forget it. There ain't no such thing.
Right. Well, that's good. I think that'll give me a good...